Tony, what's up, dude?
How you doing, bro?
Pretty nice good. To meet you. Likewise, I'm Jesus Hernandez, man. How you doing?
Very good, man. I saw your post, and I was like, man, I like this guy. I've seen your podcast before many, many times with so many great guys from around here, and good time. So I figured, hey, why not chime in and say what's up?
That's what's up, bro. Yeah, how long have you been doing your podcast?
Tell
us about you real quick.
You know, I'm definitely a lifer, man. I started out back in, I guess you could say, the thing that got me going was watching Kiss back in 1979. I took the C-101 party bus up there with my two aunts, and we went to check out Kiss on the Dynasty Tour, the last tour with their makeup, and I just was I became a Kiss fanatic, and when I saw Gene Simmons, that's all I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So after that, I got into drums, and there were just better drummers around than I was, so I needed to find a better gig to be in the bands I wanted, and the bands I wanted didn't have a singer. So I started growling and doing what I had to do for the metal bands that I wanted to be a part of. And anyway, I was in the first metal band called Malignancy back in 1990. And then that jumped into a band called Syntegrity for about 10 years between 1991 to about 2000. And then I had another band called Killamora I never stopped playing. It was just from one thing to the next. I had Killamora from about 12,000 to maybe 2015. So it's been a good run, but I got a couple of tribute bands that I sing for, a Pantera tribute band called Vulgar Display of Power, an AC/DC tribute band called Mighty Unclean. Got a couple of cover bands called Fistful of Metal and Faster Disco, and a couple of original bands called War Cult and Annihilator. And then I got the podcast too. So I've been really, you know, just, I'm a big lover of music. I can't get enough. And I really liked starting the podcast because I wanted to talk to, you know, a lot of musicians and kind of get some history behind, you know, get their story and hear what their journey and their experiences were, and just enjoy, you know, building those kind of relationships and enjoying the chat along the way. And it's been nothing but a great time.
Yeah, dude, that's what's up, man. Golly, I had a band in 98, maybe early 2000s called Wicked Red.
Hey, I know Wicked Red. Yes, bro. Yeah, that was you.
I helped start Wicked Red, and then they kicked me out of the band a while. I like kind of toward the end of their stint or whatever. Uh-huh. But yeah, I think it was Killamora at that time, or Syntegrity. Yeah. I can't remember.
Okay, that was like the beginning of Killamora, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, bro. Man, that's awesome. Man. Go ahead.
At that same time, Excrete was also around, right? And if I remember correctly, you guys had a big gig at the Center Theater downtown. Is that right?
Well, I remember winning Battle of the Bands at the Center Theater, and we played on the bill with the Misfits.
Killer, yes, bro. Which y'all created a big stir back in the day. Y'all had a nice following, bro.
Yeah, that's interesting, man, to know. And then Excrete, man, those guys came on. Like, it's cool. It's cool to me that the scene has changed. Like, it's changing and evolving, and you're in the mix of it, bro. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, I started the original band thing with War Cult, man, probably about 3 years ago, with my guitar player David Reed, and that's because I just had the urge again, man. I'd been doing tributes and cover bands for a good maybe 6-7 years without doing anything original, and man, I just got the bug and started the band thing again. But this time around with War Cult, it was not an easy ride, man. Getting the right guys together and the chemistry, there was a lot of butting heads from just coming up with a band name to deciding on guitar parts, and it became really so complicated that it wasn't any fun. So mixing up with different musicians, man, and finally it came right. And you know, that's where the lineup is that we got now. Me on vocals, David Reed guitar. We are also using our former guitar player Brandon Salinas, who is helping us out because we had another guitar player filling in, but he dropped out of the band. And then of course my bass player Brian Canales, and on drums we got Eric Maiden, who also jams with Gutter Gospels. And so this is a good mix that we got going on. So War Cult is doing some great things. as well as my original band Annihilator. We got a gig coming up in Houston, and we'll be playing in the Valley here pretty soon. And Annihilator's old school Corpus Christi thrash. These guys are the thrash pioneers from the back in the days where I was still in a punk band called Aggravated Assault. And I guess it was probably 84, 85. And these guys were from Moody and Ray High School. And I was like, man, these guys are getting a fucking badass metal band together. They had an Annihilator self-titled cassette that was out and floating around locally. And it sounded cool. I was like, fuck yeah, we got some guys that are doing it like Metallica, like Big Four. And so I looked up to those guys, and it ended up being Annihilator that gave Aggravated Assault our first chance to do a show. And funny thing about that show, that was the first time that my father had ever went to go see me play live. And my dad's a cop. He's a retired police officer now. And we had a song at that moment. It was called Cops Suck. So my dad showed up at the perfect time, man. It couldn't have been the worst time, really. And our singer, Tim Abel, who's in San Antonio, and he got on there. He goes, hey, this is the Corpus Christi Cops, those crooked motherfuckers. This is called Cops Suck. And I swear, my dad, he was staring at me like he couldn't, like he hated me. Like he was so embarrassed. And I was fucking tripping because I didn't think Tim was going to go off like that. And I knew that song was coming on the set. I just didn't think he was going to have some choice words before that. But anyway, between then, that was 85, and until I did my first Christmas benefit, which this is going to be my 7th year doing Tony's Twisted Christmas Spectacular. And I've been doing that, raising money for the Coastal Bend Food Bank for the past 6 years. And it's been my biggest project, and it's been something I'm most proud of because it's a 20-piece band I put together called the Harbor City All-Stars, and it's made up of guys from like Julius Villarreal, Jacob Martinez, Mario Cervantes from the Young Classics. I got like Adan Pena from Zombie King. I got guys from last year I had Louis Mandel from Heavy Soul. Wow. I had Celeste Torres from Chain Links. I got Ralph Davila from Cat House, Oscar Mendez, their singer, playing with us. My guys from War Cult. Everybody's in such a Christmas spirit. It's a 20-piece band.
Yeah.
And it's the best thing out of the whole year, but it's such a big project.
Wow.
Because rounding up everybody for that is some work, and everybody's already got their own bands going on, and they're real busy because it's Christmas time. Wow. So getting together for one or two practices during the week just really shows the dedication that all these musicians have to, and their generosity to put the show together with me, and to, you know, always raise. I mean, we've done over $10,000, man, for the Coastal Bend. About maybe 100 pounds worth of food donated. So between
what's it for? What is it for again?
The Coastal Bend Food Bank.
Okay. I couldn't hear you chop it. It chopped up, but I couldn't hear what you said.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we got to help out our community, and that's what it's always been about. We've all been so blessed to be able to have the, you know, what we have, and have a meal on our table every night, and have a job. And so sometimes it's not so easy for our neighbors. And so to put something together that year when my grandson was born, Grayson James Osborne, because I just felt so blessed, bro. I just felt so blessed to finally have a little grandson. It was just unreal. And I said, man, if there's anything I can do, I need to give back. This is my time to start giving back. And I just started calling up my friends, and everybody was all gung-ho about it. So there's been some member changes throughout the years because of scheduling and doing other gigs. And but I've always come up. It's always worked out. When it's come down to the wire, I've had everybody show up and make things happen, and it's been a successful event. Casey Lane from the House of Rock has put me up for the last three or four years. And before that, Richard Nunez from Richard Billiards put up his place for the first couple of years. And the only thing that stopped us was COVID. And that was the only year that we stopped. And since then, we've been right on track, and we'll be doing it again this year, December 21st, over at the House of Rock, and it'll be featuring the Harbor City All-Stars. And we usually figure out to get one of my bands or one of the other bands that has the artist performing to help us out as maybe another act or two after the Christmas show, just for the adults, really. The Christmas show starts at 7, and it's all Christmas classics done with like an 80s mix to it. So it's kind of like going to see Twisted Sister or Rat, one of those 80s bands doing all these Christmas classics like Silver Bells and Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, you know, Frosty the Snowman, all the classics, dude. It's Little Drummer Boy, which is my favorite that we finally put into the mix. And the other guys get to pick their songs. The Young Classics themselves are also part of the four bands that bring up the Harbor City All-Stars. So they pick out their songs. And, Julissa bangs them out with some great vocals on classics like that Mariah Carey song, All I Want for Christmas. So, we had all the classics that come out that night. And it's the one time of the year that my parents do come out. They show some. Other than that, they're not gonna show up for a War Cult show or a later gig. And I don't blame them because it's gonna be Christmas. Yeah. You know, everybody's spirit, and it's just the best time of year to get everybody's family out there for a great time.
Yeah, for sure, bro. It's funny that you mentioned that because, like, if you tag on like it's a benefit, like everybody show. It's crazy, bro, because everybody shows up.
Yeah.
And like, if you're trying to do just a regular show, they're just like, whatever, it's a regular show. But if it's for a cause, like, everybody shows up, bro. It's weird.
I'm telling you, man, I wish we could just tag something with it. And, you know, that way we could, everybody's a win-win. You know, everybody picks a different benefit for a different show like that. That'd be tight.
That's what,
you know, it sounds like that might be a good combination, man, because it could bring extra support. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, it does. It really does matter, bro. I think, and like people in the scene will see that you are part of that and be like, oh, okay, yeah, I remember that guy did this, whatever. It's just a part of networking, I think, too, you know, an important part. Real quick, Modern Day Renegade on TikTok says hello.
Hey, what's up? I've had Modern Day Renegade on my podcast. Great guys, dude. Man, Ruben, Adai was on drums, Shinobi on guitar, Mark on bass. I'm trying to think. Oh, Hector, take that around. Mark Pantoja was on guitar, and Hector Juarez was on bass. Heck from Deftones tribute, A Knife Party.
Wow, so cool.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and also always a contributor to the Christmas show too. Him and John Luna, and they also got a tribute called Neverland, the Metallica Experience.
Oh, nice.
Those are a Corpus Christi Metallica tribute band right there, Neverland.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of those tribute bands like popping up. I mean, it seems like that's the popular thing now, because it seems like if you want to play, you got to do that stuff. You know what I mean?
I'm telling you got a good point. If you want to play, and some of us guys have been at it, you know, 30 years, you know, we love playing. We love playing, dude. And that's why we'll be in multiple bands trying different things, because not only to collaborate with different musicians, but because we want to stay active. And, you know, it's a great, what better way to make some extra money by doing something you love, like, you know, making music or performing. So it's a good thing. And there's been so many of us that have made it that kind of side hustle where we still have our day job, but come weekend time, weekend warriors, you know, taking a trip to the Valley, San Antonio, Laredo, Houston, just to, you know, make this, when it comes to tribute bands, usually you can make a good enough money where you can take care of your expenses and still take some money home. And as far as original bands, it's a hard way to make it, man. It's a hard way to make it, but you got a few bands out there that are really grinding. And, you know, one band that I know that has been out there making a name for themselves is a band called Identity Crisis. They're a Seattle kind of grunge band that has been on the road with a band called Under the Sun, I believe. And if I'm correct, these guys are going to have some opening dates with a band with a guy called Youngblood. And you might be familiar with that artist. And Identity Crisis is making some things happen. They've been to New York. They've been to Cali, making things recording and making videos. And
That's cool.
Saying great things about those guys. But, you know, some other guys that are really, you know, making some things happen around here are our friends in Zombie King.
Yeah, you know, I keep hearing about them. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And big props to Marcus Liao and Swim the Current. Love that group that he's got going on right now. And you know, and his other band, Shattered Sun.
Yeah, for sure. Man, you're making me think about AI, bro. Like, AI is not going to replace live sound, dude.
Oh, shit, like, dude.
You know what I'm saying?
I hate that. I came across that sometime last year, and I think it was somebody put out AI's version of a copy of an AC/DC song. And since I was doing an AC/DC tribute, I wanted to hear it. And, dude, it was fucking perfect.
Yeah.
And I just don't like that shit. I really don't feel... when it comes to AI, I've seen Terminator 2. I know that Skynet, one day the computers and the machines are going to take over. I listen to podcasts a lot, just like, you know, it's part of our business. So one of my favorites is Tucker's. So I listen to Tucker Carlson. And the other day, he had a guy on there that was an ex-Freemason and talking about how rituals and possession and spiritual good and bad is so much a part in everyday life around us in politics and the guys that are running things, and how so many things are going on behind the scenes that, you know, that a lot of people that are subliminal and are under people's consciousness, and they don't really want people to notice, but the signs are there. And if you look, if you really pay attention, you can kind of find that kind of stuff. And I hate to go down a conspiracy kind of rabbit hole, but I myself feel like there is a battle between good and evil going on. And I want to just know the truth as well as the next person, and finding the truth and hearing from different sources, you know, you got to make your mind up for yourself. And I'm still trying to figure out all the shit out on a day-to-day basis. Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man. That's cool, man. So you came up in like the 80s era of metal in Corpus.
Yeah.
What were some of the bands that were out before that you were like, oh shoot, check it out? You know what I mean? Like locally.
Yeah, the guys that I would go check out were like Final Assault. Those are the guys that were opening up for like Metal Church that would go play at the Ritz. Then Devastation came up from like the ashes of Final Assault. From seeing those guys, Devastation came up. And Devastation was opening up for anybody that would come by. Celtic Frost, Exodus, Yngwie Malmsteen. They would do these shows at the Ritz. They started teaming up with one of my favorite bands, Anchor Watt.
What was the name?
Anchor Watt. I love that name. And you know, when I looked it up, it's some kind of island in the middle of nowhere. And I think maybe one of the Galapagos Islands, particularly named Anchor Watt. And kick-ass band. And their guitar player, Danny Lohner, went on to play with Trent Reznor in Nine Inch Nails. And he's in the fucking Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, man. So... big props to Danny Lohner and, you know, the beginnings of Anchor Watt, who ended up turning into Screw, which was a Nine Inch Nails version kind of band, which was the reason he got hooked up with Trent, was because him and Adam Grossman had made a two-man band called Screw that was working kind of at the same time that Al Jorgensen was working in Austin. And they were kind of like on two sides of town working the same kind of stuff, caught up in that industrial metal sound that Trent had going on in Chicago. So Anchor Watt was a big deal back then, and they had a deal called the End of Summer Slam Session. They had 1, 2, and 3, so they had 3 years of them, and they would have them at places like the Stardust Ballroom, which was right off of the access road between Castores and Ayers. And back in the day, right in that same area, there used to be a little miniature golf park. And there was a big ass dinosaur that would kind of loom over the access road facing the freeway. So as a kid, you know, I was born in 1970, and this was born, it was always there. So I was like, wow, it was always a treat to go play miniature golf there.
Crazy.
Eventually,
bro,
they tore it down and they made it into a ballroom for quinceañeras. And when shows, local shows started coming out and becoming popular, guys like Phil Salazar, who ran Nighthawk Entertainment, started renting out the Stardust to put on these kind of local shows together because he saw that there was a need for it. And before you know it, they had 500-600 kids showing up, you know, paying 10, 12 bucks a head. And we loved it. It was the shit. So big props to Phil. Thanks for taking a chance on these local bands and the local bands just coming together to merge. Cause you had Anchor Watt was like one of the best first crossover hardcore metal bands. Devastation was a pioneer thrash band, and Rotting Corpse was definitely a thrash band out of Austin. So whether they were skinheads, punk rockers, metalheads, or just kids that just try to find some rock and roll, it brought these crowds together for those events. And there was a call to SummerSlam, fucking classics.
That's amazing, man. Wow. You know, bro, I'm sorry. I changed gears like crazy, bro. My ADHD mind gets crazy. I was talking with a hip hop artist. We were talking about how they think of them like as the Mexican rappers or whatever, that there's a certain sound associated with it. And like when I look at us, bro, I'm like, we're just a bunch of Hispanics that freaking love heavy music, bro. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, maybe for you growing up like in the 70s, was there like a stigma like to where like, oh yeah, the Mexican dudes are into that type of music or whatever? You know what I mean? But did you experience that type of stuff growing up?
You know, that's a good point that you bring up there, because, you know, growing up, I always saw white guys. Those are the guys that always had the rock and roll bands. And you didn't see black guys. You didn't see Hispanic guys doing it. It was always Motley Crue, Rat, Twisted Sister. They were all Anglo guys, you know, even like in the earlier round, Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know, they were all Anglos. But that didn't discourage me. And since you brought that up, there was an 8-track that my dad had in his garage. And I must have been maybe 8 or 9. And it was a band called Santa Esmeralda. And they did a track. It was a cover of a song that we all know. And it's a badass 70s song called Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood. Please don't let me be misunderstood.
Yeah.
That one. And on the 8-track, it said Santa Esmeralda featuring Roland Gomez. And I was told my dad, are we related to this guy? And he goes, wow. Yeah, man, that's one of our cousins right there, dude. He's crazy. Yeah, he made it. That's one of our cousins. And so he got me inspired. Later on, I'm talking to my dad, maybe 2 decades later, talking about that moment. And him and my uncle were there, and they started saying, that ain't your cousin. We don't know that. Just pulling your leg, man. I said, really? Oh, man, he had me hook, line, and sinker. I was like, dude, there's one Gomez that made it. Now I'm going to be the next. So that was inspiring. So Santa Esmeralda did a super cover of that, and I think it comes out on the Pulp Fiction soundtrack.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome, man. That's great.
As the years went by, guys from Moody, guys from Ray, my scene later on, we were, you know, like my guys in Aggravated Assault, it was me and Albert DeLeon. We were the 2 Hispanic guys, and then we had 2 white guys. Tim Abel and Matt McClain. And then after that, it was the guys in Malignancy. We were all Hispanic. The guys in Syntegrity, we were all Hispanic. Guys in Killamora, we were all Hispanic. And around us too, like the guys from Excrete, they were all Hispanic. Yeah. But then you had some of the guys from King High School that had like Joy Wax, Crayons, Poetic Noise. And they were all Anglo, but a couple of the guys were Hispanic, but they were all Anglo. They were real light skinned.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and so, but regardless, a lot of those gigs started coming together. Like Brutal Poverty was in the mix back then, of course. And, you know, that was all Juarenta right there. Everybody from the West Side. You had like Brewish from Miller. That was all Juarenta crowd right there. You had Hypnotic State, which was just kind of a mix because you had David Lozano on drums and went to Carroll, but the rest of the guys went to Miller and Moody, and they were a great metal band, Hypnotic State. And that was my kind of tag along band that I kind of was a roadie for during high school while I had Aggravated Assault, because these guys are a great metal band. I was like, man, when I get good, I want to be like these guys. So it's very inspiring to kind of have our buds, you know, making something happen. And, so big props to Hypnotic State. And the guitar player is Michael Bettis, who has the Latin Cats. Talk. Yeah, Latin Talk. And so Mike's been doing it for so long, man. He's such a shredder. And
so cool.
Love, big props to Mike, man. Love Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was my guitar teacher at Del Mar.
Oh, hell yeah. I would have loved to have been one of his students. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, so cool. Yeah, man, it makes you think about like Zeros. We used to play at Zeros, The Zone, The Underground.
Yeah,
I can't think of too many other ones, but There, dude, there's been so many clubs that have let us play in their spot, bro. It's insane, man. Like, is there any memorable places that you played before that you can think of now? Like, dang, that was pretty cool. They let us do that. You know what I mean?
Yes, man. Some of my favorite places to go was the Elks Lodge. The Elks Lodge downtown. That was a particular place where I remember watching CBS from San Antonio, was called short for Crippled by Society, Anchor Watt, and then Fearless Iranians from Hell, FIFH. And
wow.
They're from San Antonio. They're a white skinhead band. Fearless Iranians from Hell. Talk about just wanting to raise some hell. They came to fucking Corpus, and their favorite group was the SA Skins. So they jumped. They had at least 12 guys in the back bed of the truck, and maybe about 6 guys in the front bed. And it seemed like there was 20 of them, dude. They showed up, and it wasn't a good thing for them, bro. Because they showed up and there was a lot more of Hispanics, dude. A lot more of us, bro. They went in there and they fucking started to rumble in a pit. And before you know it, we took it out to the fucking alley. And it was a fucking melee. But before you know it, we fucking sent them running. They fucking all jumped in the truck and got the fuck out of town. Crazy, and it was unreal. So after that, no more shows at Elks Lodge. They were like, fuck this shit. Is this what it's going to be like? No more shows here. So the other place was like, of course, Zeros, man. Of course, Zeros. Yeah. But aside from Zeros, another place called, it was right there off the access road, Equalize right there, man. That was run by like Saul and Hector and those guys from Abrasion. And they had some great guys go. They had some great acts like Agnostic Front, All Shall Perish go through there. And a lot of bands that have really developed over the past 20 years and are still grinding right now. But we're doing like their first, you know, we're really just doing those grinding tours, just getting the name put out there. And there were just a few guys that believed in the scene. And so they opened up their own bar and their own place and a venue. And they took a chance and they still have a Christmas show. They have an Equalized Christmas show every year. And they have some friends that pay tribute, and I think it's a Christmas Day show. So shout out to those guys from Equalize.
Shout out, bro.
Underground, of course. I got a shout out to Underground, Rudy Leal, running things over there. Always gave a great place for all us up-and-coming local bands to play. I remember Killamora playing there with Excrete many times and seeing some great bands. And then you had Patrick Basurdo put together another place right there off of Staples. We're close to the Staples and Agnes intersection. And I'm trying to think what the name of that. It wasn't the Underground, I don't think. But I know he had Asesino play there. He had Agnostic Front and a good list of bands. So besides that, golly, there were some other places that took some chances, like E&J's Pizza. There was a place called E&J's Pizza, which was right there close to Sam Houston Elementary, right down that on Norton Street, right there between Sam Houston and Baker. And I remember we played there, and my band was called Fractured Minority. We did New York style hardcore. That was right before I got into the Malignancy. So that would have been about 89. And it was us and Fractured Minority and Community Crisis and Brutal Poverty. And I remember that night that I got in the pit and somebody threw me into the wall and I put about a 3-foot hole in the fucking in the sheetrock. And so I think we might have made $75 that night, but it went to the owner, man. The owner gave me shit right after it happened. He goes, "Hey, Cajon, you're paying me for that shit. You're paying for that. So I'm taking care of the door. So whatever you made, it's mine." So E&J's Pizza, another local place that gave a chance, you know, to a bunch of local places. Cool. And besides that, the other venue that was really rocking was a place called The Warehouse. And that was at the intersection of Staples and Baldwin. That had some legendary shows like the Crumbsuckers from New York City. We had Cryptic Slaughter from the West Coast. That was Crossover Thrash from San Francisco, L.A. Goodness, we had All, which was Ex-Descendants. So classic punk rock right there, Descendants from California.
Yeah.
And golly, I'm trying to look them. maybe I'd see some on my walls, because some of these flyers I want to I saved as souvenirs, but
yeah, that's
there
cool.
are some great ones there that happened, bro. So we had some great venues back in the day. Yeah, while they lasted before, you know, somebody fucked it up.
Yeah, exactly, bro. Man, there was there's a couple places I remember. Golly, that's crazy. Let me ask you about your podcast before we go, bro. What are some of the things you look for whenever you're interviewing these bands on the Tony Gomez podcast? Wasn't it? It's Tony Gomez podcast, right?
I call it the Tony Gomez Show.
Tony Gomez Show. There you go. Sorry about that. So what are some of the things? Do you just like to interview people? Like, what do you go in like looking for whenever you're interviewing these guys?
What I like to do is talk to guys in bands that have something like a new single, a new video. Maybe they have a big concert coming up. That way we have something to really hype up. Sometimes I've had repeat guys that have been on my show, like Mike DeLeon, who plays the Soulfly, and Philip Anselmo and the Illegals. Wow. And I've got like, Marcus Liao, who's been on my show from El Nino and Shattered Sun and now Swim the Current. And I've just been really blessed to have some guys that are really making some things happen that don't mind coming on here and chit-chatting for a little while. And yeah, I just want the guys to have something happening. And it doesn't have to be particularly metal. And that's why I just call it the show, because I want to talk to guys like Casey Lane, who runs the House of Rock. Hear about his story and how he made things happen. Talk to Travis Crawford, who I've had on my show, who's, you know, one of our champs here locally, has gone on and done some badass, awesome fights. And, you know,
amazing.
I want to talk to guys that are making things happen, that are coming from Corpus, like yourself, that have a story to tell. And musically, that's an easy way to get into the mix, because that's my forte. And whether you got a Seattle grunge band or you got an alternative band like maybe Dream Stereo, you're going to get on just as much as maybe a band like Womb Rot, who's heavy death metal or torture.
Oh, my gosh, bro.
You know what I mean?
Yes, bro.
Heavy duty guys that are masters at their game. But on the flip side, you got guys like Identity Crisis, who are Seattle grunge, that are making things happen. And then, of course, I want to get my bands in the mix. So I'll talk to Warcold or Annihilator when we got something new coming up. And, previously I've had Rob from Rob's Metalworks on the show on last Thursday night. And he's been doing a program for 30 years, bro.
Wow.
30 years amazing. Talking to metal legends like Ronnie James Dio, Kerry King from Slayer, the guys from Judas Priest, Glenn Danzig. The list goes on and on. And, 30 years of doing a program, it just kind of shows the fortitude and the dedication you have to want to do something like this, because he doesn't have a paycheck out of this. It's done out of sheer love. And that's what's gotten me to this, is just out of love, because I enjoy meeting guys. I enjoy talking to cats and hearing their stories and wanting to kind of encourage and empower people around me to make shit happen. I feel like I've been able to make a lot of my dreams come true. Yeah, I haven't been able to go on a large tour or been around the world like my brother and Marcus Liao, you know, has been able to do in Shattered Sun.
Oh, and yeah, dude.
But that's why I love him so much, because he's done that. And I feel like he's represented for guys like myself.
So cool, bro. And a lot of us wanted that. Like, you know what I mean? Like growing up, we're like, damn, we want, you know what I mean? And to see him walking that wall, I'm like, damn, this is pretty cool, you know?
So proud,
I feel that, man. Dude.
Yes, bro. So proud. I only want the best, man. I always have that philosophy of high tide. When high tide comes, everybody rises. You know what I mean? And we all need to come up. And there's a lot of out here. And regionally, I'm out of Texas. I just wanted to say, you know, my mantra is kind of like high tide raises all ships. And I want to empower my friends around me. I want to empower other artists and musicians and whatever they have going for them to keep fighting, be successful, never quit, and keep following that dream. Because some of us get a break. Some of us will get an opportunity to get out there and take it to another level. But you got to be willing to be dedicated. You got to sacrifice a lot. Because along the way, to make it to success, sacrifice is always part of it. You know, the more success, the more things you got to sacrifice. And a lot of that is time with your family and your kids. As I was doing my thing, I was working two or three jobs. And a lot of that time, the two or three nights I had out during the week, I spent two nights rehearsing with bands. So I left one night for me to catch up with my kids. And in hindsight, I really regret that. I regret not spending the quality time with my kids because music's always there and I've always made time for it. And I just felt like I was really selfish at a period of in my life where, you know, I had just, and here I am now again with six bands, you know,
and you can't get away from it. Yeah,
bands too. I had Killamora, I had Screwface, I had the Pantera tribute, I had a 90s band called Rockenstein, and then I also had Annihilator and Blackland Conspiracy. So it was more on the original side back then, and I didn't have the podcast going on, but I was just really hungry and I wanted to catch a break with somebody. And
you know,
I'm still grinding. So in the meantime, since then, I have scored a vinyl that has gone worldwide with my band Annihilator. We have a vinyl now called Death is Calling, and that came out a year ago in October. So I'm really proud of that. And we're going to write new music for a second album that's going to be put out on Extreme Music, which is right out of Spain. So, So they're backing us. All we got to do is come up with the music and it's getting written. And as soon as we got, you know, maybe 8 or 9 tracks, we're going to get that recording done and put album number 2 out together with this lineup.
Congrats, man. That's awesome, dude.
Thanks.
So last thing, how much of an impact do you think your podcast has on the scene, either locally or just worldwide, whatever?
That's a good question. I do want to make a big impact as far as the amount between my circle of friends. When I go out to shows, people do recognize the show and they'll come up to me, even if they don't know me from bands. They'll say, "Hey, I come across the show, man. Cool podcast. Keep it up." And so an impact, I would say right now, humbly, a moderate impact. And I think it's just a matter of staying busy and interviewing people that people are interested in listening from or hearing the stories about. But at the same time, I got good advice from my friend Rob when it came to asking for advice from a podcast, a new guy like myself after he's got 30 years in the game. He said, "Man, bring integrity and have integrity in what you do in your show." And he's had people contact him, you know, with the show as long as he's got going on with the reach that he has. He's had people offering money to come on the show. And he said, "I don't want money. I want music. Send me your music. That's what will get you on the show. And if I like you, you're on here. You know, I'm going to put you on the schedule. You're going to get on here." But that's it's not about money. And I feel the same way. Nobody's ever offered me money to be on the show, but I feel my need is just, I got to be interested in you. I got to be interested in you. The latest cats that have reached out for me is a band from Colombia. They're called Cartel Psycho. And these guys are like the old school Suicidal. They are an up and coming young band, and their guitar player, Miguel Pigueña, if I'm pronouncing his name right, Miguel Pigueña. He'd seen my podcast while I was interviewing Daniel Benavides, who plays guitar for a band called Parasitic Septicity. And the singer for Parasitic is out of Colombia. So I guess, you know, sometimes, you know, there's not too much degrees of separation. And through links and sharing shit, Miguel hooked up. He watched it. And next thing you know, he's hitting me up saying, "Hey, I got my band. Listen to us. If you like us, we'd love to be on the show." And so I'm going to have him on. He's going to be, hopefully there'll be interview 99. And then hopefully I'll have Rodney Dunsmore be interview number 100 from Devastation. But that's the thing. Have something going on. Have a video. Yeah. Have something that I want to get out there and talk about. And if you are an old schooler that I'm into, like the New York hardcore scene, I interviewed the guys from Carnivore AD, which had members from Sheer Terror, Crumbsuckers, and Whiplash, and Creator, and Massacre. That was a couple of weeks ago. They're going to Europe. They're in Europe right now, touring Carnivore AD with their new EP called Transmutation. I love New York hardcore. So I love talking to those guys. I love old school crossover. So I've talked to the guys in the Accused and like the guys from Caton Pena, from Hyrax, from East Coast Scene. Yeah. And it's just been a blessing, man. And I had a great discussion with Jason McMaster, who plays with Dangerous Toys. from that 80s metal hair scene. And he's got a couple of number one videos on MTV. Yeah. And right now he's still rocking Dangerous Toys. He's got a show next Saturday, May 30th. They're going to be playing him Come and Take It Live. So another lifer right there that is just never quits, bro. Never quits. Cool. So like myself, I don't see me quitting. It's just going to be one of those things I'm going to keep doing until I can't fucking do it
anymore. That's cool, bro. Like, and that's the cool thing about like you, me, Rob, and other podcasters. Like, all of our styles are different from one another. If one band wants to be on my podcast, my interview will be different from yours. And our interview will be different from Rob's. So it's like, I don't see why we can't do different podcasts interviewing same bands. All we're doing, like if we interview if we interview the same band, we're lifting up that band. They're gonna share they're gonna share the interview. Hey, I was on this interview, we were talking about this, whatever. You know what I mean? I don't see why competition is there if you look at it that way, but I'm just looking at it as from an abundance mindset. Like, there's more than one of us interviewing these bands and we have different perspectives.
Absolutely.
You know,
I love your point of view and that perspective on it, because that's the way I see it too, man. I feel like the more media we have to cover these artists that are around us, the better it is. You know, it'll bring love to all of our shows. It'll bring love to the artists especially. And that's what we're trying to do. And we're just trying to help out other players in the game and have some fun doing it.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that's what's up. Tony, you got any parting words, bro? Thanks for coming on the show.
Man, I appreciate you inviting me. I love seeing the link. I love enjoying your podcast. Yeah. I guess if I have any parting words, guys, musicians out there, keep the live music alive. Keep the live music alive. Keep the original stuff going. And for you guys that got tribute or cover bands, keep rocking it, man. If that's your gig, keep rocking it hard. I want to see you out there on the circuit, whether it be at the Exchange or Rockets or over at the new Fifth and Element in Portland or Brewster Street. Something happened for yourself, all right? I want the best for you. And hopefully, if you get some new music or get some new videos, hit me up on my show. And also, hit Jesus up on this show. And make sure you can always keep up with Corpus Christi Originals.
Appreciate you, bro. Thanks a lot, Tony, man. Well, best of luck, bro. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for coming on the show. See you later.
You got it, bro. See you later. Keep up the great work, man.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Cool. That was Tony Gomez, you guys, from the Tony Gomez Show. Check him out. Check him out. I think he's everywhere. I forgot to ask him, but you could probably find him online. I'll leave some links in the description whenever I finish this live video to his information. But check him out. Definitely pulling for the scene, for the metal scene, the heavy music scene. Check him out. I grew up listening to metal music. I was in a couple of bands in the scene in the 90s, and I there's a soft place in my heart for those guys, man. And that's why you see Marcos Leal was on the channel before. I've had Zombie King on my channel because I just love this stuff, and I still listen to heavy music to this day. It was pretty cool to have Tony on the show. So you guys check him out, and we'll see you guys on the next live stream. I plan to do this every weekend or every week. Next Monday, my schedule rotates. We'll see what happens. But that was Tony Gomez on the show, you guys. Thanks for joining Modern Day Renegade, staying on you on TikTok, and anybody else watching or rewatching the show. Leave a comment, like, share. Thanks a lot. Corpus Christi Originals, we out.
And the live stream is the greatest.